Well, I don't want you to get too used to very short services, because as a pastor, this is where we make, this is our moneymaker day. We got to really hit it. I'm just joking with you. I get paid whether I preach or not. So, Tim, it's your turn. Come on up here. Oh, but it is a joy to be here with you, and always it's my favorite day of the week. Not just because I get to be the center of attention, but because I get to see the Lord's face on each of you each and every week and hear and see what God is doing in your lives, and it's just wonderful to be a part of that. But unfortunately, some of life's great questions relate to trouble and suffering. People often ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Why would a just God allow children to suffer? People say, I'm doing the best I can. Why does it seem that God just seems to keep piling on? They ask, why me? And yes, God does allow suffering, even to those who seem to be faithful and doing the right things. And yes, God could stop all the suffering now. So why does he allow it? Why doesn't he stop it? These are very loaded questions, and I could spend endless hours trying my best to explain it. And I think at best I could explain how God uses our suffering, but to know why in all cases is very difficult. The truth is that all of us will suffer one form or another. Some of us will handle it through the strength of God. Some of us will handle it with the help of others. It will shape some of us and even teach some of us. But some will fruitlessly try to handle the suffering on their own. They will be consumed by it. They will often be buried by their suffering. And as you know, the Bible is full of different kinds of suffering. The mighty King David suffered greatly, and in his case, we knew he suffered because of his sin. In the Gospel of John, there was a story where disciples were walking with Jesus and they saw a man who had been blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered that neither the man nor his parents had sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed through him. So in this case, a person suffers and it's not about sin. And we know the Apostle Paul, who suffered frequently for the cause of the Lord. I don't know anybody who spent more time in prison or received more beatings or more tragedy than Paul. And Paul even had one point of suffering that he called a thorn in his flesh. And he even said he pleaded three times for God to take it away. And we see that God didn't take it away, but he gave Paul the grace to endure it. And so my point is that suffering happens to all of us. I cannot explain it in all cases as to why it happens, and in many cases we may never know. But when we see other people suffering, we often rush to judge them, or we rush to be their fixer. And in many cases, instead of comforting people, we end up adding or contributing to their suffering. So let's go now to our Old Testament story of Job. In its first chapter of Job, we meet who Job is. It says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Job was a good and righteous man. He was so righteous that he would frequently make sacrifices to God and ask for forgiveness, not just for his sins, but for the sins of his own sons and daughters. And if you know the story of Job, Satan challenges God. He comes to God and he says, God, Job only loves you because of all the wealth that he has. And God allows Satan to take away his wealth, yet Job still loved God. So then Satan said it must be his family. And Satan destroyed his family, and yet Job still did not curse God. Then Satan says, well, it's because he still has his health. So Satan causes Job to suffer boils all over his body. And when he had lost everything, including his health, Job was crushed. Job wept. Job cried out to God and at one point even wished for death. Some of you may have felt this overwhelming pain, a pain so deep, a pain so great that you wish God would just strike you down to ease your suffering. And I think suffering is a word that just doesn't even explain. It's an understatement for what Job went through. Job was desperate for comfort. And just like the people we see every day, people all around us are suffering. Countless numbers of people desperately need us. And in our story, along come Job's friends. From Job chapter 2, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they sat out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. So because of his boils and because of his extreme sorrow, Job's friends could hardly recognize him. And as was the custom of the day, they began to weep aloud and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. People today do things to acknowledge other suffering by like wearing all black to funerals. Or when you see people wear special armbands, they do things to express, I am sharing your grief. Remember a time when you hurt so bad, you just wanted someone to hold you and cry with you? These guys are hurting for Job. And they're hurting not just for him, but with him. Because there is nothing unmanly about weeping for one another. There is nothing wrong with crying out to God. It is right and healthy for us to weep when we need to weep. It is okay to cry out just as the psalmist did. And his friends didn't just stay for the afternoon. They sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. That is real commitment. Because when a person hits rock bottom, they need someone there. And I know of families that have taken rotations to make sure that a loved one is never left alone. Because think about it, if someone's dealing with severe depression, someone's dealing with suicide, somebody is dealing with the severe loss of a loved one that they've lived with for 70 years, they need your presence. They need companionships. They need people to be a comfort to them. And I've talked about this before. It's the ministry of presence. You can minister to people just by being present in their lives. You don't have to do anything great other than just be there. And then we look at the next part. It says, no one said a word to him. You see, the custom of the day was to remain quiet until the person suffering was ready to talk. A custom I think we should consider using in most cases today. Now think back to a time when you were hurting. Think back to a time when maybe you lost someone you loved, or maybe you lost everything in a fire, or maybe your world just simply fell apart on you. Did you want to hear cliches like, well, we know all things work together for the good of the God and blah, blah, blah. Don't worry, everything will be okay. God's got this. Is that what you wanted to hear? Did you want to hear people say things like, well, have you prayed about it? Hold your head up. Just give it time. Time heals a broken heart. And when you were in despair, you certainly didn't want some problem solvers or I told you so's, do you? Well, what comes around goes around. I warned you that would happen. All you need to do is get back on that bicycle and try again. Now let's talk about where you went wrong. While some of these things may be true, we have to understand when and where to open our mouths. We have to realize that most of the time our silence and our presence will bring comfort. There are times when our words will contribute to their despair. We have to learn when we are being a comforter or when we are being a contributor. Our words and our efforts can make the healing process actually take longer. And even when it comes to counseling, most people believe that the counselor has all the issues. But if you know anything about counseling, this is not true. The role of the counselor in many cases is to get the other person to discover the answers for themselves. And as the story of Job moves on, Job's friends stop being comforting friends and turn to being contributors to Job's despair. The entire third chapter of Job is him crying out and sharing exactly how much despair he feels. So much despair that he wants God to take his life. And then in chapter 4, the accusations begin. His friends, in a sense, say things like, "Don't get mad if I'm honest with you, but you have to take part of the blame here, because you sow what you reap." Or you reap what you sow, I'm sorry. And they continue to ask things like, "Have you confessed your sins to God?" Because they were convinced that Job had done something to make God angry and therefore brought this whole thing upon himself. But we also do the same things when we see people. "Well, that homeless man chooses to be homeless, doesn't he? Oh, that drug addict probably brought it all upon themselves. I bet they started drinking and smoking at a young age, and then they moved to things like pot, and then we know that's a gateway to the bad stuff like heroin and meth. Or look at that single mom on welfare. I bet we could just make a whole book about all the bad decisions she made, starting with a long line of her so-called boyfriends." By making assumptions and other judgments, we add to their suffering instead of being people who provide comfort. We don't know if that homeless person is lazy or has a disorder. We don't know if that drug addict maybe was a good provider who went from legitimate painkillers to a serious addiction. And we don't know if that single mom is a single mom because she had the courage to take her children out of an abusive situation. Because believe it or not, things do happen to people beyond their own control. And yes, it is true, bad things happen to people because they make bad choices. And I'm not saying there isn't a time or a place to teach, correct, or advise. But all too often, we rush right into judgment or we rush into being problem solvers and we never bring relief from the suffering. We never bring comfort. And there are probably people very close to you right now that are hurting beyond hurt. Hurting in ways that you will never know. Sometimes they are too ashamed to tell us what is wrong. They're too afraid to tell us. And why? A lot of times it's because we are not conditioned to be comforters. They know what will happen if they open their mouths, the floodgate of the condemnation, the judgment, and all of the hold-you-sos that will come down on them if they tell you what's going on in their lives. Job's friends, one after another, blamed Job's situation on Job's sin. But we know from the story that Job did not deserve his misery. Yet from the mouth of the youngest of Job's friends, we find the truth. From Job chapter 37. Aren't you glad we jumped from chapter 1 to 37 already? On a normal Sunday, I'd have you here for the whole thing. "Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised, those wonders of him who has perfect knowledge? You who swelter in your clothes when the land lies hushed under the south wind, can you join him in spreading out the skies hard as a mirror of cast bronze? Tell us what we should say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of our darkness. Should he be told that I want to speak? Would anyone ask to be swallowed up? No one can look at the sun bright as it is in the skies after the wind has swept them clean. Out of the north, he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, people revere him, for does he not have regard for all the wise in heart? For me to explain suffering is beyond my comprehension. God has the power to move the winds, power to move mountains, the power to create the heavens in a spoken word. So how can I dare attempt to fully understand his ways? But what we must learn from the Bible, that God is truth, God is justice, and that God will keep his word. And only God can provide true comfort. Hear these words from Paul. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You see, as Christians, as his church, we need to be comforters instead of contributors. Is there a time to call sin, sin? Is there a time to tell someone to pull themselves up and get going? Is there a time to teach and correct? Is there a time to offer advice? Yes. There is a time to speak when the comfort period should be over. But think about this. How much more willing will someone be to hear what they need to hear if we first weep with them? What if we gave them time to grieve? What if we just spent time comforting them in silence? And once they knew they were loved and cared for, no matter the situation, what if they were offered grace instead of judgment? Do you think then that these people would be more likely to listen? More likely to receive the grace and make a change in their lives? Jesus was compassionate to those that society rejected. He was compassionate to all those who called upon his name. Whether it was the lady who crawled on her knees just to touch his gown. He was compassionate to the adulterous woman. He was compassionate to the woman at the well. He was compassionate to the thief even while hanging on the cross. We can comfort people in their time of need, or we can contribute to their problems. You see, we need to share the love of Christ with everyone, especially to those with the greatest need. People will hear our message only when we have provided the comfort and eased their suffering. So now you can ask yourself, when you leave here today, will you be a comforter or will you be a contributor? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as I've said many times before, we don't have to watch the news for more than 30 seconds. And we know that this world is a world deep in hurt. This is a world that is steeped in darkness. We live in a world that Satan is spreading lie after lie after lie. It's a time when your church is under attack and every move we make will be looked at and scrutinized. But Lord, let us see beyond what is in front of us. And let us see those lost sheep. Let us see those ones who are begging to be found. Those who are just laying so low, just wishing for nothing but everything to be over. Lord, let us find those people. Let us be healers and comforters. Let us love people with the same kind of grace that you gave to us. The kind of grace that says, no matter your sin and no matter where you are, I love you. Lord, we have received grace and we have received forgiveness. And in our times of trouble, you have given us comfort. Lord, allow us to take that, use that, and be the church you have called us to be. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.